You know, because what the apostles began, the traditions that they started that were not written down, are completely lost. They are not represented by earthly churches that have that claim their descent from the apostles. And a lot of our attempts to replicate things found in the Bible they come up a little short, because we don't necessarily know everything that their situation entailed. You know what I mean? But we live in a different era, and we can take the spirit of which these things were said and the spirit of God, and we organize our churches based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. So continuing in verse 3. Well, you know, I like the way he says, well, this one is interestingly addressed from Paul and Timothy. And how he calls them servants of Jesus Christ. And I had said that a deacon was a servant, but it's a different word for a servant. I believe that one is, diakonos, which is like a hired servant. It doesn't necessarily mean they get paid, but they could be paid, I suppose. But what it means, like a servant, as opposed to the word above in verse 1, doulo, which is, or douloi, which is, means slaves. You know, the slaves of Jesus Christ. It means bondmen, as opposed to being like a free servant. You know, like the difference between a slave and a butler. A butler is a servant, you know. Or a maid is a servant, you know, but they are not, it doesn't include the idea of that absolute servitude. Now, we're all the servants of Christ. We ought be in the church, or growing up into the servants of Christ, by all means. Verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. So, he's saying, every time I think about you, I thank God. I really do. Always in every prayer of mine. And I make requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know, everything he asks for them, he says, I love asking it for you. They're very precious to him, the brethren. Their fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now. This word fellowship is a very important word in the New Testament. Koinonia, or koinonia, it doesn't really matter how you pronounce it. But literally, it means common, that which we have in common. Like, let's say, they say there's the fellow, what do they call that, the fellowship, the camaraderie of thieves or scoundrels, because they have things in common. And there's the fellowship of the gospel, means the things we have in common as it pertains to the gospel of Christ. Which, as Christians, when we gather together in one body, we have things in common. Now, some people may, this is what the fellowship of the gospel is not. We're all hanging out together. Hey, did you catch the game? Oh, that last play? Oh, how are the kids? How are the kids doing? Oh, they've grown so much since I've seen them last. Wow, I can't believe it. Or, so what are the newest problems? Well, I can't start my car. I've been having money difficulties. Blah, 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 blah. All this carnality. A lot of times people, they get together and then they call it fellowship time. And all they're doing is sharing their carnality with each other. Or even their mutual, like in a church, you could have cliques where certain people like each other and other people kind of don't. And they all stick together with their own kind. And in that way, they think, oh, I'm fellowshipping with my friend. But that's not the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel is the commonality of the gospel. It's how the gospel brings us together. It's how the things of God bring us together. To me, fellowship is when I go up to another brother and I start talking about the things of God. When the apostles would get together, they weren't talking about the latest craze in chariot wheels or what was happening down at the forum or, all the petty little things of life. In fact, even the distributing of the poor got to be such a burden at the apostles. That's why they appointed deacons in the first place, was to take care of lesser matters. The great and weighty matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These are the things that ought to be on our tongues when we come together in fellowship. That's one of the things is, I've gone to churches where they make a big deal about their day of worship. The only thing is, it's all, as soon as you come together with them, out of their mouths, it's not the things of God. And if you want to sit around and talk about the things of God, everyone disappears. I gotta go. We already sat through enough of that stuff. Had enough. I've had it preached at me. Not discerning the Lord's body. We're eating and drinking Christ. But the bread of the Lord is contemptible. I mean, they don't wanna eat and drink and live Christ. They don't obsess about it. Oh, I'm supposed to be somewhere. I gotta go. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul coming to the Philippians? And all they want to do is talk about trite stuff. He comes to impart on them some spiritual gift. And they just want to go out for lunch. Can you imagine? I can. But Paul had a great fellowship with the Philippians.